Well, I have a new toy, a Renaissance flute. I'm going ever backwards. I started on modern flute and then worked with the Baroque flute and now the Renaissance flute. And I hear that in some European museums they have bone flutes from the Stone Age, so I suppose that's the next step. I have a friend in Austria, in Innsbruck, who's a flute maker. He makes primarily Baroque flutes and Baroque oboes and Baroque clarinets. And we wanted to work on a Renaissance flute, and this is what we came up with just a month ago. So this is a piece called Ricercare, which is a kind of written-out improvisation, a sort of written-out warm-up piece by a fellow named Giovanni Bassano in 1585. So 200 years later, they were playing a flute something like this. They had taken a cylinder, a cylindrical bore, and made a cone out of it. This tapers toward the bottom. And they'd cut it up into four sections so you can carry it around easily in your pockets. And I really do think that's the idea. Actually, it's also easier to bore the cone when you have it in smaller sections. and they plopped one noisy key on the end, too. This one has all sorts of nifty adjustables. It has a what they call a register foot on the end. That's because sometimes in different towns, the pitch was different. The harpsichord that they played with, or baroque bassoon or whatever, might be higher or lower. So they would have a flute with many different middle joints, some short like this and some longer. And then they could play at higher or lower pitches. And when you put in a longer one, you have to lengthen this thing and push in the cork that stops the end of this. And the way you do that is you, well, whoops, came off there. Oh, well. You screw this nifty little item and it pushes the cork in or out. And you know where it is by the little ivory head that sticks out. You can see how far in it is. I want it about there at the moment. So this is a set of minuets by a fellow named Tayar, written probably around 1750, the end of the Baroque time.
Thank you.
major work for the flute that a lot of flute players play today. The last two are completely unknown, even to flute players. One flute player out of every 400,000 will know these pieces, and that's me. But you should be ashamed of yourself if you're a flute player and you don't know this next one. Well, it's not true. But it's by Johann Sebastian Bach. I've spent enough time in Germany that I can say Bach now. It's called the, they have different names for it because the top of the page on the manuscript is cut off. But there are a few letters showing, and a former flute teacher of mine has filled in the letters. He thinks it says solo pour la flûte traversière, which means solo for the sideways flute. Because if you just said flute in those days, they thought you meant a recorder. This was something special, the traverse flute. So it's in four. It's a suite, which is a collection of dances. It's in four movements: an allemande, courante, sarabande, and bourrée anglaise, an English bourrée. And those were all dance forms of the period.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is a little exercise that I was assigned about 10 years ago, and I think I'm finally learning it. I'm going to play it for you. Etude-like pieces. They're called romantic etudes by a flutist from about the same time as Anderson. He died 2 years earlier in 1907, so around the turn of the century. But these have nifty little names to them. I'd like to play three. First, the swing, and second, the dove, and third, Russian dance. The swing, the dove, and Russian dance. Thank you. couple of pieces. Ruth Kittleson and I have a couple of Satie pieces that we'd like to play. The Nocien, I think the name comes from it somehow or other. The Nocien is number 5 and number 1. Thank you. Buy some new music whenever I come across a good music store, and something that I've just been working on the last couple of days are some French pieces from about 1950 by a fellow named Kirschlin, who sound very French. And the first is The Clear Forest, then the Goat Herder, and finally Drinking in the Shade in Summer. The clear forest, the Goat Herder, and Drinking in the Shade in Summer. Thank you. a pastoral sketch, Dance of the Goat by Arthur Honegger. And one doesn't know for sure. Every flutist probably has his own little story for this piece. I picture a field, a grassy meadow, and then from afar the goat comes dancing in and does his little dance with kicks of his hoofs, and then all of a sudden he thinks about maybe his girlfriend and sits down in the meadow and sings a pretty little song, but then he gets carried away and starts kicking again, and he finally runs away into the distance, and in the distance we hear his little song again, and then he's gone, and it's the meadow, the green meadow.
Thank you.
a Danish, I think, composer, Carl Nielsen. To close, I'd like to play a couple of variations on some hymns. Let's see. First, 166, if you want to follow along. All glory be to God on high. Thank you. 1926. Flip, flip, flip. Where charity and love prevail. I still have notes in my fingers. See. This is a little elegie étude by another flutist, Don Juan, turn of the century. And it's about falling leaves in the summer, autumn. Thank you. I forget the title of this one, so I need a hymn book. 220. What's that? What's that? It's from the Kentucky Harmony book, and you asked me to do this one once. Well, it's a good one. You can all sing along if you want.